It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We explore a new collection of prose poems from Madison poet Cynthia Marie Hoffman. Her works chronicle her childhood onset of obsessive-compulsive disorder and that journey into adulthood with an anxiety disorder causing repeated unwanted thoughts and fears. Be part of this conversation. Call in with a question. You can share your thoughts, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Cynthia Marie Hoffman's poetry collection is called Exploding Head. Cynthia, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning. So your collection is split into four sections. The first section is from the perspective of a child. Did any of these events you write about happen in your childhood, or are they artistic metaphors about your childhood?
Oh, this is such a funny question, because actually my father read the poems just recently, last fall, when the advanced reading copy was out, and he said, well, I hope you imagined most of these things. I hope these are metaphors, but no, these are actually the thoughts that were going through my head at the time. It's quite scary to be a child with OCD when you have fears that come out of nowhere.
How did you, document those fears as a child? Did you just hold them through the years and then they come later in life pouring out through poetry as you become a poet? Or how did you hold on to these?
Exactly. I did hold on to them. I didn't tell anyone. And I think it was because a lot of the obsessions that can come with OCD aren't the types of things that it's okay to talk about generally in conversations. Fears of getting shot, or fears that someone will break into your home, worrying constantly about being in a car accident. These things are just brushed off by others as, don't worry about it. You know, it makes you feel like, especially when you're a child, you're the only one having these types of thoughts. No one else seems concerned. So there must be something wrong with me. And I decided that certainly if there was anything wrong with me, I was going to keep it secret. So I actually started writing about OCD when I was already about 35. And it was really the first time I had spoken more publicly, you know, with my poetry group around the dining room table in my own home, but to people that weren't my close family. And everything did sort of come spilling out through poetry. It gave me a way of speaking about things in an artistic platform that I had full control over, that space on the page. And it just felt like it was a way for me to express those things that I didn't have another outlet to express them in.
Mm-hmm. I wonder, did you feel any stigma or shame as you sat around your poetry circle at the table in talking about something so deeply personal as this anxiety disorder?
I think I worried that I would feel that way, but my poetry group was such a supportive group and collection of peers, and they really made me feel comfortable. When I first brought the poems, I said, I'm writing about something new, but I don't want to talk about what it is. I just want the poems to speak for themselves. I wasn't quite ready to say, I have OCD, this is OCD. I just wanted to show a bare, clean, non-labeled look inside my mind.
There are images and themes that come up through the collection, including an angel. What is the angel you write about?
The angel was actually a figure that appeared in my room when I was a little child. I'm not sure where he came from. Of course, I did go to Sunday school when I was a kid. I went to church. There was some religion in my house. So it obviously came from that. The idea of angels always fascinated me when I was little. I wanted to have an angel costume and dress up as an angel at Christmas. But this angel figure was not a guardian angel for me. It was something that was terrifying. And I just felt the presence of him standing there at night by my closet door. You know, as kids are afraid of things in the dark, I was afraid of an angel. And I had in my mind the idea that this angel, if I didn't cover my ear with the sheet at night, my ear was bare, the angel would approach my bed and lean over and whisper the secret of heaven. And I don't know why this was scary to me. And that's why I think that the angel got wrapped up in the idea of OCD for me. As I thought about what are my OCD symptoms, the angel seemed to be a part of that because there were these strange rules that were just there. They were associated with this angel. I had to cover my ear.
We're talking with Madison-based poet Cynthia Marie Hoffman, a new book of poetry. It's called Exploding Head. You can join in with questions and comments at any point, 800-642-1234. Cynthia, you establish a pattern of thought that you characterize as a game and rules. And in your poem, Conquerors, you write, you have your own game and you must play it quietly in your mind. And the rules are, if you don't count, you'll die. What did you mean by the game and the rules?
I guess it sounds a little bit like the childhood game of step on a crack and break your mother's back. OCD comes just assigned with these rules. If I do X, I'll be protected by Y. And so I think ultimately I was afraid of dying and still am. I want to live. I love my family. I love my life. I want to be alive and enjoy it. And so that's my biggest fear. It wraps up in everything. And OCD clamps itself onto whatever your biggest fear is, whatever you don't want to lose. And for me, I think just at a base level, that's my life. And I think that just the rules coming in quietly in my mind represented the idea that I had to keep it secret, that I didn't do anything really that was physically visible. Like I wasn't walking through a door 15 times to get out the door in the morning to school, things like that, that other people would notice. It was all internal, these mental compulsions to count and draw patterns on things, all in my head quietly.
You know, when I think of Conquer, it's the British game using those little horse chestnut tree seeds and that idea of you strike the opponent's conquer and try to break it. Did you feel like there were these instances where things or people were striking out at you and trying to break you in some way?
I don't think so. I don't think others were trying to break me, but I think that it was the idea of breaking something open. I was fascinated by what's hidden inside. And you're right, Conquers is that British game. I lived in England when I was little, and my sister and I played Conquers. We loved it. It was so fun. And I kept the title in the book, even though I thought people might not know in the US what Conquers is. So I'm glad you know that game. And I think that it was just, you know, the idea of holding so much inside and a fascination with how that might be eventually broken open.
Madison poet Cynthia Marie Hoffman, new collection of poems. It's called Exploding Head, Navigating a Life with Obsessive Compulsive Disorder. Call in with a question. You can share your comments, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.
The people of Wisconsin.
It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We discuss a new collection of image-rich poems called Exploding Head that give a glimpse of what it's like to live with obsessive-compulsive disorder, which the National Institutes of Health characterizes as uncontrollably recurrent thoughts, known as obsessions, and repetitive behaviors, referred to as compulsions. Call in with a question. You can share your perspective, 800-642-1234. This is the fourth poetry collection by Cynthia Marie Hoffman of Madison. Let's bring in a call now, Jenny in Evansville. Jenny, hi, go ahead.
Hi, I just wanted to say how much I appreciate the topic. I was diagnosed with OCD when I was about 20, and I'm 50 years old now, so I guess I just want to underscore the fact that OCD is a very unique journey. It differs so much from person to person. Mine in particular manifested with germs. And today I am very high functioning. I still very much live with it. It's just a part of me that I've come to accept. I'll have business meetings and be in all sorts of situations, and no one around me knows that I'm functioning with a certain set of rules. So, it's something that I don't hide it, but I also don't want it to be the focus. And so when I do confide in someone new and explain to them, I have this characteristic or this disorder, the first thing that they usually start doing is trying to accommodate for it. Oh, well, does this bother you? Does that bother you? And
how does that make you feel?
I'm the kind of person that I like to make the people around me feel at ease. And so I have learned to be very careful who I share that with. And it needs to be someone whom I can trust, so that I can say to them, look, I will let you know.
Yeah.
Please do not try. I think the hard thing is they have empathy and they want to try to accommodate. But what they don't understand, it is absolutely not rational. For example, I can drink out of a coffee mug in a restaurant, but I cannot drink out of a glass.
Jenny, I really appreciate you sharing your very personal journey with OCD. And Cynthia Marie Hoffman, what comes up as you hear Jenny's story?
Oh, thank you so much, Jenny, for sharing. All of that rung true for me, especially the loneliness when you're keeping something inside. And even if you aren't attempting to hide it or trying to not show your OCD, it's a very isolating disorder. And people who have OCD who have read my book say that the main thing that I think rang true for them was especially the childhood section, where it is just terribly lonely. And I don't think I even realized how alone I was until I wrote the book. I went back and I read it and I thought, I was terribly isolated. And it's only now that I'm starting to find a community of others in the OCD community and within the poetry community who have OCD, who are willing to support each other and say, yeah, that's exactly what it feels like for me. And that connection has been, for me, so powerful.
How did your life change after a firm diagnosis?
Actually, the idea of a firm diagnosis is a little fuzzy for me because since I kept everything so internal, and also because most of my compulsions and obsessions were mental and other people weren't necessarily recognizing it in me. No one brought me to therapy or identified it for me. I just knew something was wrong. And I don't know how, but somehow I ended up with a copy of Dr. Judith Rapoport's 1991 book, The Boy Who Couldn't Stop Washing. And I think I was probably 16 and just driving at the time when that book fell into my hands. The very first case study in that book is about a man who worries that he might have run over someone with his car. And he's wondering, am I sure I didn't drive over someone with my car? I don't know. It's something about OCD causes you to lose your faith in your own memory and in your own experience. That's why sometimes we hear about people with OCD checking, did you turn off the stove? Checking, did you lock it? Because as soon as you do it, you think, did I really do that? And I had that very idea driving, you know, as a 16-year-old. Did I really kill somebody? How do I know that I didn't? You know, there's this doubt. OCD has long been called the doubting disease, you know, and that's really what it is. So I knew all the things that I had been experiencing, those were OCD. That explained it for me. And I was just sure that I had this. And so I did a lot of self-help books over the years. And again, I think it was just the stigma and the secrecy that kept me from finding therapy. I did seek therapy for conditions that go along with OCD, like depression and anxiety. Cognitive behavioral therapy can be very helpful, but for OCD, it needs to be something specifically targeted, like a cognitive behavioral therapist who understands OCD or exposure and response prevention therapy.
We're talking about a new poetry collection called Exploding Head. Madison-based poet Cynthia Marie Hoffman is here, and you can be part of the discussion. Call in with a question, share comments at 800-642-1234. Stephen in Madison now. Stephen, hi.
Hi, Cynthia.
Hi, Stephen. Thanks for
So,
calling in.
oh yeah, I would love to. So I'm someone that is more newly diagnosed with OCD. I found out recently from my psychiatrist it takes on average 17 years from onset of symptoms to diagnosis. For me, it was a big, oh, so that's what that is kind of moment. I still personally feel a little unequipped to write about it, and I'm wondering how it's affected your writing, and specifically if you feel like it gets in the way of your ability to write. Or does it help in some way?
Thank you, Stephen. That's a great question. Cynthia.
That is a great question. By the way, this is Stephen Espada Dawson calling in. He is our Madison Poet Laureate and
Oh,
also has
wow.
OCD. Thank you so much, Stephen, for sharing that with us. I think OCD gets in the way of writing in the same way that it gets in the way of my life. I have this obsessive need to just read things over and over again after I've written them. And it's sad. I often think, how much could I have accomplished in my life if I didn't have to read this email I've already sent 5 or 10 or 15 more times after sending it? I could just send it and move on with my day. And in some ways, that obsessive rereading helps with revision. It really causes me to be extra tuned into the musicality of language and the rhythm of it. I read things in my mind. When I'm practicing my poetry and I'm revising, I read things out loud and hear it. But as far as writing about OCD, it isn't anything I thought of doing until I was 35. It took me, I wrote three other full-length collections before I thought of truly writing about myself.
I wonder, is your do you set aside time then to write like an exercise that you do each day with your writing and poetry? Or do you just decide that, it strikes you in the moment where you sit down and work on a new collection?
Well, I think as poets, we're often taught or we hear the message that we wait for the muse to arrive. And I think that poets could really benefit from the philosophy of novelists who just sit in the chair. And something that has kept me sitting in the chair and showing up for my own creativity and my own work is having a poetry community around me and having a poetry group that I'm sharing work with. Because for a while, in fact, I didn't, for a period of about 5 years, I wasn't writing at all. And I didn't have a poetry group at that time. And my friends started up a new group, and I said, well, I'm not writing, but I'll join anyway. And all of a sudden, you have a peer saying, when's your poem? Where's your poem? You
The
need a poem for next
accountability.
Thursday. Exactly. So it's truly helpful. And if you show up for your work, then the muse will arrive.
The theme of guilt comes up in some of your poetry. Can you explain a little bit more about such feelings of guilt?
I think that that probably just comes from OCD, and it's something where you have a feeling of guilt that just shows up out of nowhere, and then your mind responds to that sensation in your body and says, what have I done? What have I say this in one of the poems in my book, what have you done? And I don't think I could ever come up with the answer. When I was a child, I had these terrible dreams that I had murdered someone. And again, I think it goes back to that Judith Rapoport book and that case study where you start to think, am I sure I know what I've done? And OCD for many years was known as like scrupulosity. So really, really wanting to be perfect and to be good and worrying about sinning too much. And so I think that that really showed itself for me in my OCD as well.
poet Cynthia Marie Hoffman of Madison focuses her new collection on her journey with obsessive compulsive disorder from childhood to adulthood. It's called Exploding Head, and we're discussing these poems. Be part of the discussion at any point. You can call in with a question. You can share your thoughts along the way. The number is 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A new book of evocative prose poetry. It chronicles a childhood onset and an adult journey through obsessive-compulsive disorder, a mental health condition characterized by obsessions and compulsions that interfere with life, with living. Be part of the discussion. Call in with a question. Share your views at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Madison poet Cynthia Marie Hoffman's new collection is called Exploding Head. Cynthia, can you read a poem for us, Exploding Head Syndrome, and if you could share that poem with us?
Sure. Exploding Head Syndrome. You are finally an adult, living with roommates in a house with a rickety banister and soft spots in the floor when your head begins exploding at night. First, a swish like a heavy wing dragging across the air, and then the door slams. Where does one life end and another begin? When you were a child, your thumb or your mother's thumb was slammed in the car door. One of you felt the pain, one of you the guilt. But you cannot remember which was which. You often dreamed of a guilt so grave you fell to your knees in the garden. Tadpoles shuddered in their leafy beds. What have you done? Once, a red balloon sailed to the ceiling of a warehouse, and though the ribbon slipped from your or your sister's fingers, you cannot remember which. You know the empty hand. You are always running from the shadow that chases you. In the forest at night, an owl screams a womanly, murderous scream. Neighbors call the police. You and your sister and your mother set out with the dog and a flashlight and find nothing.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing that. Why did you choose this poem to share the title of your book?
It's funny because as I look at this collection, Exploding Head Syndrome, the title of this book, Exploding Head, is really the only syndrome or disorder that's diagnosed by name in the book. I don't say obsessive compulsive disorder anywhere in the poems themselves, but Exploding Head seemed to me like it encapsulated that feeling of your head is so packed full and it's so busy with these obsessions and these mental compulsions. It just felt to me like it summarized the experience of OCD in a way.
You describe these poems as memoir in prose poems. Have you always written in prose?
I wrote stories when I was little and essays when I was a little older. And at some point I decided I'm a poet. You know, poems have line breaks. Poems are written in form, et cetera.
They rhyme.
Right. Well, mine don't.
But yes, no.
they often do rhyme. So I think that I finally, as the years went on as a poet, fell back into the prose form. And I have a poem in the book called The Music of Language. Is opening up for you. The music of language is clamping down hard. And it's about my experience with OCD forcing me to grip onto little patterns of things that people say that have a certain number of syllables. They'll just hear, oh, that has six syllables. And that works if I look at the window pane and I count the four sides of the window and I draw an X through the middle. And I have this, you know, compulsion to repeat these phrases based on their musicality. And I think that that caused me as a young child to pay attention to language. And so in a way, OCD, I think, has given me the gift of poetry.
The book, it being written using the personal pronoun you and not I, why do you choose to use you?
I have a poem in the beginning of the book that says, "You are not you again today." And I think that that is kind of summarizing this sense that there's the OCD reality that we live in, which is kind of the not you. It's not truly who I am. It's a big part of me, but it's not my identity.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of my identity. And then there's the you, the true me who lives in the world. And I think also you is a way of creating a distance between myself and the subject. And when I first started writing these poems, it was just a more comfortable place for me to talk about, in a way, someone else and this other part of me that I had never shared before.
You mentioned religion and growing up in a spiritual community. And when I think about religion as well, there are rituals in religious services, a lot of rituals. How does that aspect affect living with OCD and in your poetry?
You're right. There are a lot of rituals associated with religion. And I don't think that my upbringing was religious enough to have brought a lot of those rituals into the home.
Mm-hmm.
But I do remember, of course, praying every night and saying, if I die before I wake, etc. And I think that that's probably a part of what brought the angel into my room as well. This idea that you spend the night before you go to bed connecting with a spiritual entity and connecting with God or an angel or whatever my concept was at the time.
Well, how did that make you feel, that connection before trying to fall asleep? Was that helpful or harmful?
I think it was harmful. It was definitely terrifying. I don't, mm-hmm. you know, that prayer that we say, it really calls to mind the idea that you might die before you wake up the next morning. You know, mm-hmm. I was a kid. I was already pretty in tune with poetry and language and the meaning of things. And that didn't get past me. That wasn't just something I recited. I felt that in my soul every night that I might die. And so I think that, again, I think that probably, you know, conjured the angel in my mind in some way, that I was making a connection to something spiritual that was scary.
New poetry book, Exploding Head. We're talking with Madison Bay's poet, Cynthia Marie Hoffman. You can join in with your questions. You can share your comments at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. The book guides the reader through a series of thoughts and perspectives as well as experiences. And one poem is titled, "This Is All True," and includes like this list of experiences that are written almost like instructions. What is this poem about?
So "This Is All True" is kind of, you're right, instructions for Cynthia Marie Hoffman's OCD. It's a list of all the things or some of the things that were compulsions or concerns for me. And I think that this poem in particular, some of the lines are, if your foot dangles off the edge of the bed, a metal blade rises from the floor and slices it off. How do you know you haven't murdered someone accidentally? Look directly at the sun, touch your eyeball once a day. These are all kind of, you know, OCD rules that are made up when I was a child. And I think that this poem kind of says, when I say this is an OCD memoir in prose poetry, or this is an OCD poem, I've been saying that and kind of announcing it as my elevator pitch for this book, imagining that that creates automatically a rich, full understanding in others of what an OCD poem might be. But I'm learning the more, or I'm reminded the more that I talk about this book, that there's a great misunderstanding about what encompasses OCD, what OCD can possibly be. You know, as Jenny said earlier, it manifests itself so differently in different people. So people might not know that for me, an OCD poem means violence, terror.
You write how blinking is very powerful, and you say blinking seven times memorizes the faces of the people you love. You write about blinking more in the beginning, in the childhood section. Does blinking become less powerful as the book progresses?
It does. And in fact, that was probably the one thing that I would say was a visible external OCD compulsion, where I have another poem in the book called The Face Has Seven Holes that has kind of instructions for drawing a star on people's faces by blinking on their eyes and their mouth and their ears. And that was something that I used to do when I was a child. So you would be talking to me and I would be drawing a star on your face, blinking seven times. And people noticed. And one time in school when I was little, we were playing volleyball and I got hit in the face by the ball, volleyball. Not good with ball sports. And my eyes swelled up and I went to the nurse and someone said, you know, your eye is swollen. Is that why you're blinking so much? And I thought, oh, yes, people are noticing this. That was the first time that I was aware that my compulsion was visible to others. And I knew I didn't want other people to know. So I worked really hard at replacing that compulsion with something else, patterning or counting internally in order to hide.
Let's talk about the counting. And I'm just wondering, you know, counting, it comes up. You write, such a waste, hours lost to counting the window panes in this room. Can you explain the issues with counting and how you write about it in the poem?
Yeah, I also have another poem called It Starts that talks about introducing the concept of counting when I was a child. And I always would look at the window and count the four sides of the window. So right, left, top, bottom. And if you kind of draw that pattern on the window, right, left, top, bottom, it makes a four. And for some reason, OCD makes up its own rules. So four is good. You know, some things feel right, some things are wrong, and four is a good number for me. And so it just feels, when you're worried about something, OCD comes in with a compulsion to say, this is how you settle your fears. This compulsion is a ritualistic kind of settling for you. It helps with the anxiety. But over the years, the compulsions become the problem. You know, it's not even so much the fear but and the anxiety. It's the fact that I'm counting all the time. What could I accomplish if I wasn't doing that?
There's a line, like, there's a sort of grace in it, after all, counting yourself lucky to be alive. It sounds like you give a little bit of reprieve in that moment, allowance for the counting.
I think so, because this has been something that I dealt with on my own for so long. I learned to sort of adjust to it and keep it as a part of myself that I was able to see some good in. You know, OCD has made me who I am. It's affected my creativity in positive ways. I see and hear things because of OCD that I wouldn't see and hear if I didn't have it.
Madison poet Cynthia Marie Hoffman's collection of poems is a glimpse inside the inner world of a life with obsessive compulsive disorder. Call in with a question. You can share your thoughts at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We explore a Madison poet's deeply personal and decades-long struggle with obsessive-compulsive disorder, where a person gets caught in a cycle of obsessions and compulsions. Call in with a question. You can share your comments at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Cynthia Marie Hoffman's new collection of poetry is called Exploding Head. Toward the end of your collection, you have a poem. It's titled A Great Many Things. Can you read this poem for us?
Sure. A Great Many Things. In the bath, a galaxy of bubbles collapses in a weightless, glittering mound, marking the end of another day in which you are not dead. Your body and all its invisible particles stitched tightly together. Sink deeper into this warm, white cradle, weary from the rattling of your own mind. At dusk, walking through the field, you picked a feather from the grass and ran its shimmering vein between your knuckles. You wanted to see how it was held together by peeling apart its hooks and barbs. There was a hush about it, the swish of hands releasing their grasp. You saw how easily the delicate design of the world can be undone. But for now, you are safe in this watery embrace. Each alternate universe bursts around you one by one, releasing a held breath. A great many things will happen to you, but none of the things you're afraid of. It was the wind in your hair, the red-winged birds embroidering the blue sky. That has been your life.
There's this exhale after reading that poem, like, oh, okay. You know, with the safe in this watery embrace, there's a more peaceful tone than some of the poems that came before. What do you think elicits this feeling of safety?
For me, actually, this feeling of safety and this tone that you referred to is something that I discovered over the course of writing the book and, in fact, assembling the book. It was late in the years that I spent writing these poems that I thought, let me just try it in chronological order. Let me just put all the childhood poems first and the later poems later and see how it reads. And when I sat down and read my own work that way and looked at my own life, I found that the childhood years were very scary, very lonely. And the later years, the later poems, I was naturally adopting a tone of self-compassion. I had learned to care for myself, to reassure myself that, hey, I'm safe. All these things that I've worried about, those are not the things that have happened. That was not your life. Even though you spent many hours and days and years over the course of your life imagining horrible things happening, that was just in your mind. You're truly safe. And so that's sort of something that I discovered and found other ways of self-care. Like, for example, this poem takes place in the bathtub, right? A bubble bath. What, you know, it's this nice, warm water. And thinking of just, you know, where can you find places in your own life where you feel safe and protected.
Hmm. Let's go to Jason in Janesville. Jason, hi.
Yes, I have a question. When you noticed your OCD, or even your parents or adults noticed your OCD was kind of an issue or kind of rearing its head through, did they try to put you on medication or try to, were you able to see this, solve this issue naturally?
Jason, thank you. Yeah, Cynthia.
That's a great question, Jason. My personal story, and I can't speak for others or make recommendations, of course, but I can only speak to my own lived experience. I would say it was more natural as far as the OCD. Cognitive behavioral therapy is something that I had sought for depression and anxiety. And that, even though it wasn't targeted specifically for OCD, it helped me make peace with my thoughts. And remember that as long as I don't react to the thoughts, as long as I recognize that the thoughts are just thoughts and they can't harm me, it's not reality. That was the way that I naturally found a safe space for myself with OCD. I did seek medication for anxiety and depression, and those are all things that kind of come along with OCD. I think we're there because of the presence of OCD. So targeting OCD as the base, I think, is what ultimately helped me feel better.
How has motherhood influenced your poetry?
Well, I think that motherhood is such a big part of my life. I have a child. They're 14 years old now, teenager, but over the course of this book, they were really little, you know, a toddler. And as far as OCD, that child that I was suddenly responsible for kind of just clicked right into place with all my other OCD worries. It was yet another person that I loved deeply that OCD made me worry about losing. And so my child does appear quite a bit in the book. And motherhood, I think, is impossible not to write about because it's part of my identity.
So where does your poetry take you next? Where, you know, after this collection and we think about those last words in the bubble bath, you know, where does your poetry go next?
Well, I'm in that place of figuring out what's next. I tend to write, and I think also because of OCD, I have kind of an obsessive personality. And I love to think of crafting a book rather than poem by poem. So I love what we would call in the poetry world project books. You know, this book is on a theme. My previous three books were all on their own theme. I enjoy the act of building a world. So I'm kind of feeling around for the next obsession. I'm writing a little bit about climate change, a little bit more about being the mother of a teenager, and we'll see where that takes me.
What are your suggestions, advice for other poets or people who are in other artistic pursuits as they also navigate an anxiety disorder?
I think just, again, self-compassion and recognizing, you know, I'm a perfectionist, and it wasn't even until recently finding more of an OCD community that I recognized perfectionism as a kind of symptom of OCD. I just thought, oh, I'm a perfectionist. So recognizing that and allowing yourself to just remember that life is messy, make a mess, you know, just allow yourself to be creative and make mistakes and experiment.
Life is messy and experiment. And yet, I wonder, does poetry create some order for you?
Oh, it absolutely does. Even within the prose poem, which is kind of a disordered order, a prose poem, for those who might not know, is just a paragraph. Mm-hmm. It looks like a little piece of prose, you know, just like reading a memoir. And even in that space, I love the structure of the sentence, the musicality of how it builds and then falls. And it is a very lovely orchestrated space in which to express yourself.
Cynthia, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing your works.
Thank you for having me this morning, Kate.
Cynthia Marie Hoffman is a poet and author in Madison. Her new poetry collection is called Exploding Head. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.